Place to Be Nation Wrestling Network, welcome to the milestone, episode number 20 of NWA Crock and Roll. It also happens to be our one-year anniversary of doing this pod, so kind of a big moment. Pretty happy to kind of make it to this point, even though we got a little derailed back in March with the cock pulling this stuff, but I think we persevered and we're continuing to go through. But before we talk more about that, I would like to introduce my co-host for this evening, Dr. G. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I can't believe it's 1 year. Did we actually record on July 8th last year?
I don't know if it's the exact date, but I know it was like...
But it's pretty close. I remember it was around this time of the year. So yeah, I can't believe it. This is great stuff. I mean, you brought this idea of this pod to me, you know, a little over a year ago, and I thought it was a great idea, and I'm enjoying every bit of it. Yeah, the cock kind of screwed us there for a moment, but we pivoted and we decided to do you came up with the idea of doing before Crockett with some of these great guys that we have seen over the years, you know, through the year that we were watching. And this is good stuff. So I'm looking forward to tonight because I think we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. That's all I can say.
Listen, it's been a great year. I was really upset. Here's the good part, I guess I'll say, is we got derailed in March, but we kind of went out on a good note, at least for our timeline, because, you know, we went through Starrcade 83, Starrcade 84. We had the Nikita interview, and then we stopped with Starrcade 85. So at least we went out with a bang in that. And now now, as of this recording, I think we're 2 months away from relaunch. Whether we have the cock or not, we will get back to December 85 in September. I already figured out how we're going to do that. But, yeah, it'll be good to get back to the timeline watch. And I think our next set of episodes after this one will get us ready for that. So I look forward to talking about what that looks like. But yeah,
definitely. And this is fun. And thank you for inviting me to be a part of the podcast, because this is stuff that I loved back in the day. And even rewatching it, some of the stuff I'm really gaining even more respect for that I didn't realize at the time. And, you know, I think one guy that we really, really have grown to love and respect even more, even though we've loved him before this, was Arn Anderson. I mean, I think he's the one that you really, really see the talent that he had. I think when you're younger and you're a kid, you know, especially if you're rooting for all the faces, you kind of despise those guys, which is they did their job and that's what we were supposed to do. But as I've gotten older and watching some of the stuff back, I'm like, wow, he's up there, especially even on the stick. He's up there with Ric Flair. I mean, obviously Ric is a little better, but I'll tell you, Arn really has impressed me. So that's the guy right there that I've gained the most respect for and rewatching all the stuff.
For me, it's Arn and Tully, but they kind of go hand in hand just for two different reasons. But yeah, absolutely. It's been really good to kind of rewatch and kind of get a better appreciation of some folks and less appreciation of others with initials JV.
Yeah.
But, and Billy Graham and
Magnum. Magnum, I've even gotten to respect a little bit more. I used to be a little critical of his work, or, you know, I didn't get it type of thing, but as we're gaining, you know, steam and moving on in our watches, and I can't wait to get back to it. I mean, obviously there's going to be a point where his career derails a bit, but now I kind of get why he was, you know, tabbed to be the next world champion. I didn't when we first started this, and you remember that, but again, he's another guy that I've kind of gained more respect for as we're watching this.
Yeah, he's come a long way since that first match we watched against Hog Irwin, if you recall that first match.
Oh, my gosh, that's right.
Yeah. So, well, thanks, Dr. G. Our next co-host, Kala McDougall. So a lot, you know, a lot's happened over the last year, but I would probably imagine the highlight for you was the Nikita Koloff interview, I would tend to think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was a moment. It was very surreal, actually. For one, talking to the guy, and then two, actually talking about like how he's of like Scottish descent, and we're basically cousins, let's be honest. No, the whole thing's been it's quite strange that it's been a year. And like we thought we were going to, as you guys have said, we thought we were going to be derailed, but we've managed to keep on going. So that's a testament to the hard work you put in behind the scenes, Sean. So thank you for that, to keep us going, finding these matches. Some of them are good, some of them are not, some of them are just downright bizarre, like the California Hells Angels and one of the matches we're going to watch tonight, but it's never it's never other than watching some of the matches, it's not been a boring year. That's one thing I can't accuse Croc and Roll of being or the Croc and Roll experience of being as boring.
No, and some of them are Wahoo matches too. You forgot to mention that, but.
Oh, well, I did mention that. That was the boring part.
All right. Okay, I'll take it. All right, and finally, our rotating fourth horseman for episode 20 on our one-year anniversary pod, Ben Locke. Ben, how are you doing tonight?
I'm very well, Sean. Good evening. How are you? Happy anniversary.
Thank you. It's kind of weird because I feel like we started Chicken Salad, Highway to the Impact Zone, and this one all seemed to kind of start around the same time, around the same, you know, when we all started doing our own pods, it seemed to all blow up at the same time.
Yeah, I think everybody got the cabin fever at home, and this is a way of releasing that energy that we all had that we couldn't go out or do anything anymore.
Well, it's good. You celebrated 1 year of Special Relations recently. We celebrate a year of this. We just celebrated Highway to the Impact Zone, and we just celebrated 1 year of Chicken Salad. So I'd say it's a pretty good run. I said if we stopped doing these pods at this point, we at least hit the 1 year mark, and we could be happy.
we set out to do what we wanted.
Yeah, and a few times I've wanted to tap out, but here we are, and we are at part two of our Houston layover series. So this will be the final part of this tonight. If you recall, we had quite the ensemble of matches on our last episode. We have quite the ensemble tonight as well. I'm curious to hear what some of you think. I am gonna put down episode 19 as a very special episode because we finally got a column 3-star Wahoo match. I don't know that's going to continue tonight, but we can put that one on record and we'll see how the rest of the show Houston goes for us tonight. So are you guys ready to jump into it?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
All right. Our first match is one of our not favorites of our timeline watch in one Terry Taylor, the epitome of charisma. And then Adrian Street, who I know a whole lot about, but I have never actually watched an Adrian Street movie. I will ask you, Dr. G, since you're one of the – you've watched a lot of old wrestling probably as much as I have. Did you ever see or have you ever hear of Adrian Street?
Yes. Adrian Street did have a run in Florida against Dusty Rhodes. And, you know, he had that, you know, that look, I guess, you know, kind of almost like how they pattern adorable Adrian Adonis and even Goldust to a certain extent, that kind of – character, but he was tough, and they had some brutal bloodbaths in Florida back in the day. So, yes, he's one of those journeyman guys. You know, I would call him an attraction almost with Miss Linda, who I think he wound up marrying, and I think he's still married to today. Mm-hmm. And I think they did a documentary on the network on him recently.
They did. They did
within the last year. So he definitely was one of those guys. I would like to call him an attraction. He didn't stay in the territory very long, but when he did make his mark on the territory. I know he was in I guess Southeastern Championship Wrestling or Continental, or you know, whatever one you want to call it, up in like Pensacola in that area for a little bit. He did Florida, you know, all the NWA territories. I don't know if he had a run in Crockett though.
He was never in Crockett.
I don't think so. I didn't remember that. But I do definitely remember him in Florida. And it was just kind of weird seeing this guy dressed the way he was. And then he was really, you know, he was really a tough guy. And, you know, he and Dusty definitely had some bug bats in Florida. So that's my recollection of him.
It's interesting when you say the word bloodbath. I can't in my head rationalize Adrian Street in a bloodbath. I just can't kind of figure that out of my head and see it in one of those kind of matches. But okay, I'll believe you. All right. Column, I'll go to you. Any Adrian Street? Do you know who Adrian Street was? Did you ever hear him? I obviously assume you've never seen a match of his, but.
No, this was the first Adrian Street match I can say I've watched. I've heard of him, obviously, because he was sort of a unique gimmick for the time. Shall we say, and certainly a unique gimmick for some of the territories he was in. But I'm interested to see more. One of my notes is I've got to see more Adrian Street. So if either you guys can point me in the right direction, or Chad, if you're listening, if you can point me in the direction of some good Adrian Street, I'm a more than willing participant in watching some more of that, because I thought he was great.
I don't know about good Adrian Street, but if you just go to YouTube and put in Adrian Street in YouTube, I'm sure you'll get 100 of them, Callum. So, and Ben, how about you? I assume you've never watched an Adrian Street match, but I assume you've heard of him.
Yeah, I did of him. I saw the documentary was really good on Netflix. I saw that, but I've never actually seen a match of his.
Okay. Well, it's funny. Dr. G talked about him being a journeyman, and this is actually a Loser Leaves Town match. For December 7th, 1984, it's Terry Taylor versus Adrian Street with the aforementioned Miss Linda by his side. So, as stated, this is the first match I've ever seen with Street. He's in pink, complete with pink ribbons and Punky Brewster hairdo, which was a little ridiculous. Taylor, as always, looks so generic in his blue tights with the sports stripes down the side. Street's very flamboyant, doing ballerina lifts and trying mental game and skipping around the ring with Taylor. There's an arm lock by Taylor, and Street escapes doing several rolls in ring, and Taylor body presses for two. I like the hammerlock spot that was there with Adrian does to take Taylor down to the mat, and Street does some different variations on limb work on the mat, which I thought were really interesting. And I put a note that I said, I hate myself for liking this. Street's limb work is really good. Bosch won't shut up, and we've all talked about how much we don't really like Paul Bosch, but he literally won't shut up about all the upcoming cards. So as he's commentating, he's talking about all the upcoming cards coming up.
He wasn't even paying attention to the match. It was like the match was in the background.
Yeah, he was just talking about whether the upcoming cards were coming up. Street literally dominates the first 8 minutes of the match, with the exception of a Taylor sunset flip. His crowd chants, "Go Terry, go." Don't like the Houston crowd because I don't like Terry Taylor, obviously. Taylor did nothing or of anything in 10 minutes and 30 seconds before mounting the comeback. And out of the blue, Taylor hits a laying forearm for three, and Adrian Street's on a merry way. Crowd is hot for Taylor, but he's boring. I'm intrigued by Street. A lot of limb work, heel heat. But I could definitely see, like kind of what Colin said, looking at more and wanting to see Adrian Street, I could definitely see the potential. So before I give my thoughts and rating on this match, I will go to Ben first. The match total time was 11 minutes and 30 seconds. So, Ben, what did you think?
I'm with you. I quite like that. Actually. I definitely want to see more of Street. He's not just years ahead of his time. He's decades ahead of his time. Like you say, the entire look, the fact he was looking so fabulous, darling. And yeah, he looks really good. And as for Bosch, oh God, yes, I made a lot of notes about Bosch or D'Amato, depending on how you feel about him. I don't know about you guys. Did any of you know there was a show on December 27th that was coming up?
I only heard it 100 times. And I think later tonight, there's another time where he does that at the end of a match, too. He just likes, he's a pimp.
Yeah. But I really want my free rock and roll poster. So, that's going to make me go get a ticket. I know that. But yeah, my other note. So he called something a twisting arm lock. I have put the note, it is an arm bar. Mate, just remember your hold, lad. That's all we asked for on this thing. But yeah, I thought it was a good match. I thought it was okay, but it was typical Taylor in a lot of ways, like bland and forgettable. And you'd expect to be a lot more vicious than it was, given the stipulation that was on the line. You know, it was like it's a loser leave town match, but we're not doing any sort of, this doesn't feel like any high stakes.
Yep. So what did you rate it?
Oh, sorry. I gave it 2.5 because I thought it was perfectly good, perfectly reasonable, but like I was expecting a bit more from a loser at least town match.
Yeah, it was weird. It's almost like a squash up until the end where Taylor got the win. I mean, Adrian just dominated the ass, and
yes,
Taylor continues to just not impress in anything he does. It's very vanilla, very generic, and yeah. Anyway, Colin, so 2.5 for Ben. Colin, what'd you think?
I went 2. I thought it was another one of these ones that we've come across. It was a bit that was very tricky to rate. I think it's probably because a lot of the time we're not getting the context of the match that's happening. But I think this was a very good match in spite of Terry Taylor. Adrian Street was excellent. I thought I was just like laughing at one point because he's skipping around the match and then he just walks up to Terry Taylor and stiffs him right in the jaw. So it's just like it was another quite a, as somebody who's never seen Adrian Street and only heard of like seen pictures of him and he's the flamboyant guy. It was quite interesting to actually finally watch him. To watch him in action. But yeah, I thought it was good. So yeah, 2 stars for me.
All right. So we got two and a half and two. And I also went to column for a lot of the same things you and Ben both said. I would watch more Adrian Street based. Less Taylor, more Adrian. That's really what I have in my notes. Dr. G, bring us home on this one. What'd you think?
Okay, I gave two and a quarter stars basically on Adrian Street. Like you said, he pretty much dominated most of the match. He's always been an intriguing guy, like I said, watching him the little bit that I did get to see him back in the 80s. You know, this is a guy that started wrestling, I think it was like the late 50s, 1957, somewhere around there in all around the world. You know, he started in the UK and Mexico and Germany, but he didn't come to the US until 1981. But in that time, like I would say for a 4 or 5 year period, that's when he was making the rounds, and he probably was going to another territory after he lost this match. I agree with you guys. He's way ahead of the time. You see a little bit of where, you know, Goldust may have gotten some of his flamboyancy from a little bit. Maybe a little bit of adorable Adrian. I don't know so much him.
Some gorgeous George.
George, maybe. Yeah. It's just a little bit of everything in there. But he really, really got some great heel heat. And Miss Linda was always just his, you know, his valet. But, you know, she was kind of a new thing at that time. I know they had some valets at the time, but the way she was used was a little different, and I think that's where you know Terry Runnels kind of patterned after a little bit, maybe mm-hmm. a little bit more more updated. But Adrian Street, love to see some more of his stuff if we could find it out there. Matter of fact, I'm probably going to look for some after we record this, because I just remember, you know, everybody looks at him because they think he's, you know, not going to be tough, but.
Oh, he's tough.
He's pretty tough in the ring. And I think Bosch even made that comment. You know, I try not to listen to him if I don't have to. But, yeah, so two and a quarter. Terry Taylor just does nothing for me. I never got it. And I think that's why he never really made it to the next level, though. I think he was just always a high mid-card guy, maybe then eventually just a mid-card guy. But he was never going to be a main event. He just, there was just something missing. He had the body, he had the look, but he just didn't have that charisma. He's a better heel, actually.
I will say, I mean, with Terry Taylor, and I'll go to the next match, I will say, when he got in a feud with Chris Adams in 87 and UWF, they had a really good series of matches. I think
they
that's
did. The best. He's a better heel, by the way. I think if he would have remained a heel his whole career, he might have had a better career.
Correct. I agree. All right. And a former U.S. Tag Team Champion with Greg the Hammer Valentine in the 90s, by the way. So at least anyway. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So so we're off to a pretty solid start. Sounds like we're all agreeable with this match. Terry Taylor can continue to go away. We'd love to see more Adrian Street. Unfortunately, probably in our watch or our timeline, I don't think we'll ever see more Adrian Street. But if you want to look for Adrian Street matches, YouTube's got a ton of them. So I encourage you to go check them out, because I probably will too. All right. So our second match tonight is from May 11th, 1984. It is Buddy Landell versus Dr. Death Steve Williams. So Buddy comes out in his great value flare robe, shoves Doc before the match begins, which was pretty ballsy, if you ask me, to shove Dr. Death. Williams is such a hoss. He's like a rhino, and it's just like he looks like he could totally swallow Buddy next to Buddy. Great strength, gets two up for an atomic drop by Dr. Death, but throws Buddy across the ring instead. Buddy slaps Doc on a test of strength attempt. The ref pulls Doc off as Buddy hides in the corner like a little coward. Doc gets a headlock takedown and does this like weird tongue flickering thing with a smile on his face. Like it was really disturbing. Like you had him in his lock and he started flicking his tongue like really, really fast, which was really, really creepy. Death just totally manhandles Buddy with slaps and corner tosses. until Buddy gets his foot up on a Doc charge. Buddy gets a forearm and a knee and a pin attempt, and Doc totally tosses him off. Buddy with chin lock and punches and a front face lock. Doc reverses into a backdrop, clubbing punches, nice body slam, football stance, shoulder block. Buddy ducks a second one and heads outside and leaves and is counted out. This match was 13 minutes. For me, it was kind of a standard house show type of match with Buddy kind of being the chicken shit heel. And I really wish that we had more Dr. Death in terms of him becoming a bigger mainstream star. I know we'll see more of him as we get to our end game, mostly through 87 and 88 of this show. But love Dr. Death, Buddy's buddy. Yeah, I'll go to Callum first. What'd you think of this match, Callum?
It was all right. I thought Doc looked very different. It just didn't look his. It looked very different to normal, almost like the Michelin Man.
I thought he looked like Rhino when Rhino was like at his big.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
A very good comparison. Mm-hmm. It looked very puffy. There was for a lot of the time. There was a whole lot of nothing going on. And I blame Buddy Landell for that. Because he's just that was just his style when he was just as you say, checking heel, a lot of stalling. Second half was quite good though. Buddy started showing some good stuff, and then it sounds harsh to say started contributing to the match, but he was on offense more as probably more to the point. The 3-point stance that Doc hits him with at the end looked brutal as anything. So I don't blame Buddy for not really wanting to take that one a second time. It was what it was. You got the dodgy finish at the end. I went 1.75. It wasn't the worst match you'll ever see, but it wasn't anything to write home about for me.
Very funny. I also went 1.75, so we're agreeable tonight so far. Yeah, it's not. It's typical Buddy, and he's another one we really haven't seen that breakthrough match on. But again, the opponent, Dr. Death, I loved. So it's kind of like with Adrian Street. It's kind of they make the match for me, but this isn't a full 2 stars for me. Dr. G, what'd you think?
You know, Dr. Death really, you know, he had a great career in Japan, and now you could see why. You know, that's so funny. I was trying. He reminds me of somebody, and that was perfect. What you said in Rhino. That's what he reminded me of in this match. Yeah, Buddy's just there, you know, like you know what it did just remind me of, like a TV match that you'd see on, you know, the 605 show. It just, I don't know, it just didn't do any. I won 1.5, so I guess, you know, pretty close to what you guys did. But honestly, it was because of Dr. Death.
Yep.
Honestly, then this match would have been really, really in bad shape, maybe no stars. Again, Buddy Landell was trying to be that cheap imitation of Ric Flair, I guess. Mm-hmm. And doesn't do it for me. I don't know. We have to see more of him, maybe, to see if we could get what they were seeing in him. But obviously he had his demons, and that's why he was never able to make it to the next level. So, yeah, 1.5 for me.
Yeah. We won't see where we're at in our timeline when we get back to September, December 85. I think we might see him one more time.
Yeah, he's pretty much done, I think.
He comes back eventually, but he's gone for a little while, so we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. But I don't think we're missing much on the Buddy train. Ben, what did you think?
I also love me some Dr. Death, so I, you know, was quite happy to see this on the list. But yeah, the match is bland. It was fairly forgettable, and like you guys say, I'd put all the blame on that to Buddy Landell. You know, if him and Terry Taylor could form a charisma vacuum tag team, that'd be lovely. And then they could just sort of go off and do their own thing. But yeah.
Well, what makes it funny is they were opponents at Starrcade 85. So that's pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. God. Yeah. That sounds like 10, 15 minutes of my life I'd never get back. But yeah, I went 1.75 on it as well. But yeah, and that's pretty much all on Dr. Death, because he was really good in this. And yeah, that Rhino comparison is perfect, actually. Just that straight ahead, you know, balls to the wall style he was doing. Yeah, but Buddy, as Callum said, is Buddy.
Correct. All right, so two matches in. Sounds like we're all agreeable. So we're going to go to our next match, which on paper, when I looked at this, and I didn't watch it, but I said, holy shit, this should be a nice little, you know, I thought bloodbath, maybe stiff fest. So it's Dusty Rhodes versus Bruiser Brody from August 11th, 1978. And it is, of course, a 2 out of 3 falls match, which you get, we've seen a lot of in Houston. So Brody comes out. And he has his head in a vice, and he keeps twerking a vice. So clearly he's doing this batshit crazy gimmick, and it was pretty entertaining to watch that. Brody is the American champ. This is non-title. Bosch also lets us know that Brody will defend that title against Fritz Von Erich in a few weeks. When I heard that Fritz Von Erich was challenging for a title, it made me feel very, very old, gents. I will not lie. Dusty is much thinner than he was in the 80s. He's still big, but... he's built at 265, so he looks 265. He looks thinner, but he's also on his way to obviously getting big. He is very flamboyant as he uses his flamboyance to throw Brody off early, including signaling and kissing to kiss his ass, which was very funny. There's a nice flurry in corner of Brody offense and Dusty coming back, sending Brody outside. Dusty works the arm, but Brody, with a quick comeback, beats up Dusty with turnbuckle shots. But Dusty reverses a corner throw, teases in the nut shot, which allows Brody to take over again with three stiff kicks to the head and a knee drop for free to take for three for the first fall. So this is a lot of pageantry, maybe a little bit of a squash by Brody, but kind of a surprising fall number one. Fall number two, Dusty literally sneaks behind Brody, and Dusty beats him up, including with a 2x4 and an elbow. He gets the three, and it's that quick. It's like 30 seconds, 6 seconds, and Dusty has won the second fall, and I put, what the fuck is this shit? I mean, it was 30 seconds, literally, second fall was 36 seconds. Fall number three, Dusty with punches, toss outside, head to steps, that Bosch calls unyielding. Dusty back in the ring with elbows, they collide on a shoulder tackle. Brody has blows to Dusty's head, but Dusty hits a drop kick and struts before beating on Brody some more. Brody comes back with a toss to the corner with a club and 2 foots to gut. Bosch calls it a hard solid wallop. Dusty with a headbutt knocks both down. Back up, they both get back up, and he beats on Brody some more, but Brody tosses him over the top for the DQ. Then they fight after the match. Lots of punching, kicking. I thought it was very house show. I was entertained, but there were times that I was very bored, and I thought it was a very cop-out ending, so... not as great for me as I would have liked it to be. It was still solid. It was still Brody. It was still Dusty Rhodes, but I wanted more. I actually went 2 stars on this match, and I will go to Dr. G first.
You know what, Sean? I agree with you. I went 2 stars on this. You see this on paper, and you're like, wow, this is going to be a brutal bloodbath.
Yes.
You know, because both those guys are known for that. The thing I noticed with this match, I mean – Dusty was my first favorite wrestler growing up, so, you know, I've seen some great matches by him, but this is not one of them, unfortunately. There just didn't seem to be a chemistry there. I don't know, that's what I wrote down as my note. It didn't seem like, you know, you would think these two guys would have chemistry. I didn't see a chemistry there. That just wasn't seeming like they were on the same page of what they wanted to do in this match. And this 2 out of 3 fall stuff, that used to be – NWA used to do that for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, especially in the 70s. That was a big thing. Having, like, almost every match that – it's like, again, having too many gimmick matches on a card.
Well, it's like, well, think about our last episode, Atlas versus Ivan Koloff. Did you really need a 2 out of 3 falls? Yeah, it's great. It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. I mean, so you know you're always going to get, like, a quick fall somewhere within the match, and obviously this one was really quick. In this one, I expected more. So that's why I'm just going with the 2 stars. I thought with these two guys' star power and the matches that we know that we've seen them both have in their careers, that this could have been so much better. And again, I'm not one of those that every match has to have blood in it. Even though I'm kind of used to that growing up watching the Southern wrestling a little bit more with the blood, but this one would have been nice to have a little bit of a bloodbath in, I think.
Yeah, I'm with you. I I really, when I saw this, I got excited. And I was like, man, this is going to be fantastic. And as I watched it, I'm like, yeah, you know.
No chemistry, like right?
No chemistry. Felt like I'm at a house show. And I just wanted more. And I was disappointed. So, yeah, I'm kind of with you there. Ben, what did you think?
I quite liked it. I went 2 and 3. I went 2 3/4. So I liked it quite a bit. I know I liked it quite a bit more than you guys. But
wow, I agree with what you're saying because
it does feel like it's in sort of third gear and it never goes to that next level. So that bit I totally agree with you on. But give me something like this any day over that Bockwinkle and Slater ball section that we got on the last episode we watched.
Whatever, man. That match is way anyway, keep going.
You know, give me this versus, you know, sitting in a headlock or a chinlock for 10, 15 minutes any day of the week.
Okay, you compare that to a lot of other matches. You can't shit and compare that to Bockwinkle Slater. Like, compare it to a Jimmy Valiant match or something really shitty. Just saying.
I also made the note, Sean, about Dusty. Yeah, Dusty's looking positively spelt here. Yeah, 265. I mean, it's like... Whoa! Somebody hasn't been on the burgers for a bit. Good Lord, look at the man.
Well, to be fair, it was still early. It was, what, 78, 79, 77, something like that? Yeah, so still early in his career.
But yeah, like I say, I liked it. I did like it, but I did want it. I did want that little bit more from it, whether that's more blood or more chair shots. I wasn't sure, but... They had some chemistry for me, but it, like I say, just never got out of third gear.
All right, so Ben, 2 3/4, big score on that one. Callum, what did you think?
I am more in line with you and Dr. G. I had built this up in my mind to be something that it never ever became. I was expecting blood and guts and just a wild brawl and. We never got it. I think there was one point where I think Dusty found a plank of wood somewhere, and he hit Brody in the head outside, but that was it. As you say, a bit of a squash the first fault, a bit of a blink and you'll miss the second fault, and then a really, really poor ending, I felt. I didn't like it again. I think it was the... I don't know if you said that about this match, but I think it was another cop out finish in this one. I was quite disappointed in it because it just wasn't what I expected. So I went 1.75.
All right, so you know this happens. Ben enjoyed it. The rest of us were kind of on the lower end of it, but I do think honestly a lot of it was the built up in my head of what I thought I was going to get versus what I did. And maybe Ben kind of went into it with less expectation than the rest of us did. I could be wrong, but maybe he enjoyed it, and that's maybe why. So I'm not going to give Ben shit for liking it, because that's what happens when every time I say I don't like something, but it's okay.
I was going to say, you moaned last time I was underscoring stuff, and now I'm getting something quite a good rating. You're moaning again?
I'm not going to give you hell for it. I mean, again, you probably didn't build it up in your head probably as much as the rest of us did. I know for me, I was freaking... over the moon when I saw this on the YouTube, and I was like, what the fuck is what is this? So all right, so our next match is our fourth match. It'll be our last match before we go to break. This one was interesting. I'm hit and miss on Abdullah matches. There's some that I like. We obviously had that banger from Japan that we love, that tag team match that we watched before they were Crockett. But here we go. It's Abdullah the Butcher versus Ivan Putski. And, the Ivan Putski I remember and I watched a lot of was kind of that mid-80s WWF Putski towards the end of his career. But this is March 6th, 1981, so we'll just jump right into it. So Putski would sign an autograph in the corner as Abdullah enters the ring. Abdullah headbutts Putski, and he flexes. Bosch calls it a temple – was it a temple take? Some kind of temple take or some temple move. Doesn't even know what to call the headbutt, which is ridiculous. Butcher tosses Putski out and tosses his head into the steps. Butcher grabs an object behind the ref and nails Ivan. And he keeps shielding it from the ref, and Ivan's busted open already. Putski goes outside as Butcher kicks his head from inside the ring, which was very funny. Butcher keeps using this object on Putski, and it's kind of like what we were talking about in that Japan match where he was in, where he's just repeatedly using a foreign object, and the ref kind of lets him do it because that's Abdullah's gimmick. But it still entertains me. Putski is a bloody mess at this point. He comes back with punches and gets a bear hug that he actually lifts Abdullah up on, which was a true holy shit moment. Then he headbutts. A butcher goes outside. Putski gets a chair, does a headbutt that looks like there's a headbutt where Butcher looks like he hit himself into it, actually, on his own. But repeatedly hits the Butcher's head. Ivan beats him up, and then Butcher is now bleeding as well. Ivan with a bear hug from behind, and then goes to the front. Butcher falls to the mat on top to the mat for two on top of him. Ivan continues to beat up Abdullah some more. Abdullah hits Putski with the foreign object, and it's just like literally digging it into Putski's head. Putski gets tied up in a ropes. Ref goes to keep Butcher off of him, but then he hits the ref with the object. And then Butcher just jabs Ivan with it over and over, which is very brutal. Finally, Wahoo runs in, and Abdullah hits him. Wahoo finally fights Abdullah off. We have a DQ finish, guys. I'm going to be honest with you. I had a ton of fun in this match. Abdullah, it's kind of hit and miss, but Abdullah doing Abdullah things I thought was fantastic. I love the spike gimmick, and I love how savage he is with it. I thought it was a fun brawl, and I went 2.5 stars. Ben, what did you think?
Oh, well, here we go. Here we go. Here comes the argument because, yeah, this wasn't very good at all, Sean.
Yeah, I totally disagree. I think this is a very entertaining brawl. I loved it.
I went 1.5 on it, Sean. So we're not miles apart, but we're going to be apart. First of all, those were some lovely slacks on Abdullah, weren't they? He really made an effort with that in-ring gear. That was lovely to see.
Abdullah's pretty consistent on his ring gear through the years.
But I'll give him this. They focused on the story in the match, and they stuck to that story, you know, with the whole, like, you know, focusing on the cuts and the bleed and you know, the bit at the end with the object. I really like, but it was... You know, I'm not expecting, like, you know, fast paced move for move, like, from Abdullah, because he's the size he is and the type of wrestler he is. So you kind of know what you're getting from him. But yeah, there was just something missing for me. I don't know whether it was Putski or not, but yeah, 1.5 seems about right for me. It was just this was one of those that was kind of just there, but there was a bit of blood going on.
Okay, Colin, what do you think?
Yeah, I tend to agree with Ben. I wouldn't say I didn't enjoy it. There was something missing. I did have a note. Flair Steamboat, this will not be. But in saying that, it certainly wasn't the worst match we've ever seen. It's certainly not Valiant Kamala, which was as minus as many stars as you could possibly think of. I'll go 1.5 as well. It was fine. It wasn't a barnstormer, but again, it wasn't truly terrible worst match you've ever seen. Although I will point out that Ivan Putski did look as if he was about to burst at the seams, and Abdullah looked relatively skinny. So yeah. Abdullah looked in fantastic shape compared to what he normally looks like.
I thought you would have laughed at at least enjoyed Abdullah beating up on Wahoo a little bit. I thought you would have enjoyed that.
I mean, 5 stars. But
all right, okay.
On the balance of things, I can't let that sway my decision.
Yeah, okay, got it. All right, Dr. G, bring us home on this match before break.
You know what? I went 2.5 stars on it as well. You know why, you guys? When you go and watch an Abdullah match, you're not going to get a 5-star match. That's definitely not happening if you're not. But the thing is, we've seen some brutal matches with him, and I thought this one at least showed his character a little bit in being that savage. When I saw this on paper, I'm like, oh my god, I'm going to be rating this no stars. You know, you just saw it, like, oh.
Dr. G, I'm with you. I was too. I was like, oh shit.
This is going to be brutal.
This is going to suck. I was just saying.
But it was entertaining. You know, like, as long as I could be entertained and I enjoy it. And I, you know, I'm just the sick side of me. I like this. I like brutality every once in a while. I love good, you know, I use that word a lot, bloodbath. I just love good bloodbaths every once in a while. And this one was pretty good. Maybe it shocked me because I expected to rate this no stars. So I was entertained. That's all I could say about it. I was entertained. It is what it is. It was nothing I would never rate it 3, 4, 5 stars, nothing like that, but it was entertaining enough to give it 2.5. I thought it was, you know, that was a fair score for it.
Wow, so divide and conquer. So it's interesting. It's like this match is the opposite. This is what I would have probably wanted in a Dusty and Brody, you know, kind of brawl, whatever. But, you know, and you're right, guys, Abdullah is an acquired taste. I mean, we've seen some really bad Abdullah, but if you walk into it knowing what Abdullah is and what he brings to the table, I feel like I got it in this match. And I'm not going to lie, it's not like I didn't enjoy watching him just beat the shit out of Ivan Putski. I mean, let's be honest. So, go ahead, Ben.
No, I was going to say, I will say this. It was memorable. It was never, and it was never boring.
Yeah.
I will say that about it. You know, probably out of the 8 matches that we've watched tonight, this is going to be the first or the second one you'd probably go back to and go, this match. Yeah.
Yeah, I would probably say this match, like the last match we watched with Dusty and Brody, where I was disappointed in what I got. This one was more of a surprise, and that might be why I liked it a little more, to Dr. G's point. So, but that's why we have do this show, and that's why we talk about everyone's viewpoint, because everybody has different thoughts. So really good, strong start to this episode. So we are going to take a break. When we come back, we have 4 more matches, including a match with superstar Billy Graham, a match with Raging Bull Manny Fernandez. Yes, the return of Wahoo McDaniel, and one final match that Colin picked that might be one of those California Hell's Angels. The Killer Khan match against Missing Link versus Darso match. It's kind of one of those, I'm really not sure what I'm watching, and I don't know how I feel about it matches. So it's an interesting one we'll watch here on the backside for our final match tonight. So this is NWA Crack and Roll episode number 20. We will be right back.
I've got some friends down in Houston who know me quite well. They'll be more than happy to put me up for a spell. I can hang out or hide out, whichever I choose. And they won't ask me questions about why I've got the blues.
Place to Be Nation Wrestling Network. Welcome to the second half of NWA Crock and Roll episode number 20, Houston Layover, our second part and final part in the series. So we've talked about 4 different matches. We have 4 more left to go, and we are going to start with our match number 5, which is superstar Billy Graham versus Tiger Conway Jr. from January 7th, 1979. So obviously we all know who Billy Graham is, unfortunately, on many of these cases, but Dr. G, do you remember anything about Tiger Conway Jr.?
No, I remember the name, but I don't think I've ever really seen him before.
Okay, so what I will
tell you, I don't know much about him, to be honest with you. I'm not gonna lie.
I will tell you, we may see him again in this watch, because when the UWF merged with the NWA in 1987, Tiger Conway Jr. was a member of a team called the Jive Tones with Shaska Watley. Have you ever heard of the Jive Tones?
Yes, I remember that. Okay.
So this is him. So we will see him again when we eventually get to 1987, once the cock gets its act together. So, and I'm going to just assume that Colin and Ben, you guys have never seen Tiger Conway Jr. either, right?
No.
No. The name rung a bell, but I can't say I've ever seen a Tiger Conway Jr. match.
All right, well, we're probably going to regret seeing one tonight, so we're going to jump right into it. Billy Graham, as always, looks like Billy Graham. He doesn't really deviate from how he looks in a lot of these watches. Junior with some crazy bushy hair. They have some tie-ups that led to a handshake, but Billy goes to an eye rake, and he chokes on the ropes, does a rear chin lock. Tiger tries a few times to escape, but Billy puts him right back into the chin lock. Until Tiger snap mirrors him over to escape. And then he gets an ab stretch until Billy flips him over, and Billy pulls Conway outside and beats him up outside. Graham hits a few thumbs to the throat a la Jimmy Valiant. Conway comes back with a headbutt and beats on him some more. Graham unravels his wrist tape and begins to choke Condrey out of the ref view. Of course, I mean, again, these refs tonight just blindly don't look at what some of these heels are doing. The ref finally breaks it up, and then Tiger, I guess he gets some of it. He misses a drop kick, and Graham does some the worst kicks to the head I think I've ever seen in my life in a wrestling match. Tiger hits his shoulder on a post on a charge. Graham just constantly knees and punches him. And then Bell randomly goes off to a draw at 15:38. What the hell? I mean, literally, there was 15 minutes of punch kicks, chin locks, Billy Graham doing Billy Graham things. So Graham decides he wants to get on a mic and wants five more minutes. And I literally said, oh, God, in my comments. Conway agrees, and Billy continues to beat him up. There's knees, again, chokes, a bear hug for a few two counts. Conway gets out with two headbutts, just so many headbutts. Bell rings again, and we have another draw. Tiger asks for five more, but Billy's out. Crowd was hot. I thought Conway was pretty decent, I guess, in peril. I guess we didn't see much of it because Graham just dominated with his boring offense. Graham does absolutely nothing. It's the same old bullshit he does. I literally feel about Graham probably the same as Colin feels about Wahoo. This match was 24 minutes of just sheer freaking shit. So I actually went half a star on this, and that was mainly just because of the face reaction that Conway got. Dr. G, what did you think?
I went zero stars. I just, you know what? Billy Graham was great on the stick, but that's where it all ended because I haven't seen anything that's, I'd have to maybe go back and see some more WWF matches, but, and he did have a little run in Florida with the Full Nelson against Billy Jack Haynes. They had some pretty good matches that I saw on house shows, but this shit, oh my gosh, I was so bored. And when they said five more minutes, I was like, oh gosh, please no. I really can't deal with five more minutes of this. Yeah, zero stars. There's just nothing redeeming about it. It just, you're right. Tiger Conway got a nice face pop, but that's about it.
That was where the half star came in from for Tiger Conway. That was it.
Just, there was just nothing there for me.
All right. 24 minutes. Just think about that. 24 goddamn minutes. Callum.
Can't get that back.
No, never. Callum, what do you think?
I have two notes for this. This is not going to be good at all, and rubbish. This is just when you think you've seen your worst Billy Graham, this happens.
What's your favorite word, though?
Oh, abomination.
I love it.
Absolutely. yeah, this had dud written on. I mean, I don't like to go in with preconceived notions. I try and keep an open mind as much as possible, which you will be surprised at with some of my Wahoo takes, and you know, but I don't try and prejudge a match. But I prejudged this match to think it was going to be absolutely terrible, and I was correct. So I've gone with Dr. G, and I have given it a dud as well.
Mm. Ben, I'm going to assume that you're going to round out the dud threesome. I could be wrong.
Well, would you like to hear some of my notes, Sean?
Of course I would. Absolutely.
I'll read them verbatim. First note, 24 minutes, ? Oh, boy. Second note, what have I ever done to deserve this, Sean? I thought we were friends.
Yes.
Third note, if something interesting happens, I'll tell you. Fourth note, Graham asks for five more minutes. Please say no, ref. Fifth note, ref sadly doesn't take my advice. This continues. This was, brother, this was so bad, brother.
Abomination. Sean,
yes, abomination is a great word. That is a word I'm going to use for it. Sean, this is 25 minutes of everybody's life that you need to give us all, you know, something. Just a little something, just for this.
Is the pleasure of my company every 2 weeks not enough for you people with this? I mean, say it.
If I haven't already said it, this isn't just a dud. This is a dud with about a million cherries on top.
Yeah, see, I get it. I know I went half a star, and literally it was because of Conway and his face reaction. I see the potential in Conway, but yeah, I mean, if you just go by pure Billy Graham, it is a big fat. I'm trying to remember as I was watching this. okay, what matches have we seen Graham in? So we saw him in a match at the Bash where he got pinned by Sam Houston. That was an okay match because of everybody that was there with him. Then we saw him in a match against the Barbarian. I think that was an atrocity, an abomination. The Starrcade 85 match against Wahoo, one of the ones that we said is probably one of the worst matches of all time. And then, of course, the one against Bruno Sammartino. I think those are the four Billy Graham matches we watched with this one. And I got to say, man, I don't know if hopefully we never have to watch another Billy Graham match in our lives. I hope we're done. I really do. Because I know he's out of Crockett soon, so I don't think we actually watch anymore. I could be wrong, but hopefully this is it. I'm praying. So, yeah, pretty bad, guys. Pretty bad. So, all right, so let's see if we can redeem ourselves on match number six. And I saw Ben make a comment in a chat about, oh, I had to watch the Mills Mascaris match. So I kind of trended to believe Ben didn't like this one this much, but we'll see. So it's because I did like this match. So we have the Raging Bull, Manny Fernandez, versus Mills Mascaris. This is from May 14th, 1982. So first thing is the commentary. Once again, Bosch lays out how Mills is a star of the universe, and he names every city he can. And then he says Nigeria thinks that Mills is a great athlete. So he just went so randomly just brings up Nigeria, whatever. Manny has recently turned heel. Mills instantly impresses with a almost like standing up monkey flip that he does. Then he does like a little back roll. He does a roll on his back, and then he head scissors Manny over, followed by a nice flying headbutt. Really cool, simple spot toe hold where Manny tries to sit up. But Mills, which is, I've never seen this before, where he actually uses his head and shoves it into Manny's ass to push him back down, which I thought was creative. I mean, I've never really seen that before. Mills works the leg with a modified deathlock, then does a surfboard, then a headlock, and another head scissors into a surfboard. Manny goes for a head scissors of his own, but Mills turns it into a full Nelson. Manny later gets control of a working arm, but Mills escapes, and Manny walks outside frustrated. Back in, Mills works the leg, does a spinning toe hold, but Manny on top with punches and a rope choke. Manny does a nice diving elbow to Mills' head and a flying burrito for two, and then a nice knee drop for another two. Mills gets a surprise sunset flip for two, and then Bull with a headbutt to the gut. Mill hits another flying headbutt and a body slam. Ref yells at Mascaris for going on a splash at the top rope, which I thought was odd. Like, I don't know why he was yelling at Mills for going up on the top rope. Another flying headbutt, suplex body slam for two, punches and kicks traded. Bulls shoves Mills into the ref. Mills, whatever you want to call him. More fighting and punching with Manny hits an axe handle on the apron to Mills outside with some good distance. They're just fighting outside. Mills clobbers Manny's with a chair. Both men get disqualified. I know this might not be everyone's cup of tea. I had a lot of fun with it. There were a few spots that looked a little sluggish, but Mills Mascaris, no matter what you want to say, I know on the show and I know on the Conrad pod, they always call him No Yob Mills. But I thought this was a fun match. I actually went 2¾ stars. I didn't like the ending. Sometimes they do these cop-out endings in Houston, like these double DQs or count-outs to do it a whole lot, but I honestly like the match quite a bit. Colin, what did you think?
So I completely contradicted what I said the last one. I went into this match with the preconceived notion that it should be quite good because Manny Fernandez has been one of the guys that I've really enjoyed watching since we started the pod. I thought the match was really good. A lot faster paced than we've been accustomed to seeing in some of these watches. I've not got many notes, because it was one of these ones that I was taken in by the stuff that was happening in the ring. I went 2½ stars on it. I'm in line with you, Sean. This has become a scarily frequent event now. I'm starting to, I was on the Mill Mascaris and Manny train for this one. So 2½.
All right, that's good, Ben. I think you made the comment, like I said, in the chat, so I couldn't get a read, but I got the assumption that maybe you didn't like this match. But go ahead.
I think you could be right. I was watching something totally different from you two then. I think I know what it is. I think it's I'm not the hugest fan of Lucha Libre, and this was just some really bad Lucha Libre from Mascaras. Just awful stuff. You know, wow. those puffy, like, you know, strikes that don't look like they hurt at all. Some of the, you know, some of the submission, I even made the note, Sean, like, some of the submission holds were Raven-esque. That ain't a compliment, kids. If you don't listen to the Impact Pod, that ain't a compliment, trust me. I did like seeing Paul Bosch basically just sat at ringside chilling doing his commentary. That was quite nice. but this is a match similar to some of the ones we were talking about earlier on, where like one half of the match is terrible, but Manny was really good. I really like Manny. I mean, you know, like you say, he'd obviously just turned heel here, and there was some really good mannerisms, jaw-jacking with the crowd. I quite liked. That end sequence where he wasn't going for the, you know, he wasn't allowed going for the top rope. I didn't understand what was going on there, but that's okay. I'm guessing that's just a Houston thing, but yeah, I just didn't like it all. And I think, going for what Callum said, I think it's that thing. I think it is a thing of, I really don't like Mascaras, and you know, this wasn't enough to change my mind. I went 1.5 stars.
Jeez, Ben, it's crazy. Like, I can't figure it out. It's like, there's moments where Callum agrees with you, and now he's agreed with me on two that you didn't like. So, Dr. G, what did you think? Bring us home on this match.
You know what? I'm going to have to go along with Ben. I went
what?
What
is, yeah! What is going on tonight?
And Manny was it for me. Mil Mascaras does absolutely nothing for me. I don't get it. It doesn't. I like Ben, and not a big Lucha Libre fan either. So, I don't know. He just doesn't do anything for me. I tried, and there's just nothing. But I do love Manny, though. Manny, another guy, though, as we're saying over this last year doing the pod, that I didn't have. I don't want to say I didn't have respect for him. Of course, I respect all these guys, but I didn't have a good feel for him. You know, probably when I was watching it growing up, because, you know, he didn't have that character you were looking for, that wow factor. But now watching him back now, he's a great hand in the ring. And I think that's basically my 1.5 stars is due to Manny, because Mil Mascaras just doesn't do it for me, guys. I don't know.
I was surprised, Sean.
I thought that you wouldn't. I thought you would have been more on our side. I didn't think this would have been
I don't know what's going on tonight. And by the way, you said good hand, which is the kiss of death. You did that on the last episode. Every time you hear good hand, you might as well just toss it in the garbage.
That is true. But he was never going to be a main event guy, but he was always a good upper mid card guy. Manny was, and I didn't really. You know, he was just there to me back in the 80s when I was watching wrestling. But now as I'm watching this back, I really, I think he does a great job. He, even with some guys that are less talented than him, he will make the match better just due to his skills.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening tonight. I feel like I'm in like Stranger Things, the Upside Down world, because there's a lot of crazy back and forth and ratings all over the place. But I guess that's what makes this show interesting. Everybody's got a feeling and a thought, so... All right, we have two matches left. So our seventh match, which officially was going to be our final match of the show until Colm decided he wanted to watch the last one we're going to watch, was my surprise Wahoo match that I dropped on Colm at the end of the last episode, which is Wahoo McDaniel versus Terry Funk. And this is from February 6th, 1981. So I look forward to hearing everyone's thoughts on this match, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of debate. So Funk, there was a Wahoo had bust up the Funk's tag team trophy. Funk demands an apology from Wahoo. Funk attacks and tears up Wahoo's headdress and tosses Wahoo outside. A brawl ensues, and Terry hits him with a chair immediately. This is apparently a finals match for a shot at Harley Race for the NWA world title. Terry brings Wahoo into the ring and hits a pile driver for two. Funk with a chop. Terry brings Wahoo into the ring, and we get a pile driver for two, but literally Wahoo rolls up with a chop and rolls up Funk for a three. And we have been swerved, gents, because this is not the match we were going to end up watching. So before I end up going into the actual match that we were going to watch, and I promise you, Colin, I'm going to go to you first. When I picked this match, I literally thought we were going to get a Wahoo versus Funk match. And I, too, was swerved in this and what we're about to watch. What did you think of the literally 30 seconds we got of Funk versus Wahoo?
I was promised Terry Funk.
Well, you did get Terry Funk.
I was promised Terry Funk beating the shit out of Wahoo. In my own mind, I must now go and find Terry Funk beating the shit out of Wahoo McDaniel. on the week that we found out that Terry Funk has got some potentially severe health issues, which apparently has now turned out not to be true, thank goodness. I wanted to see the best of Terry Funk, and I feel that Paul Bosch knew that people would want that way back in the day, and this is a bait and switch of epic proportions, and I don't care who it was that came in, because the guy that came in, as we'll find out, was fairly decent himself. Mm-hmm. But I've now been on this show, now been treated to not one, but two Wahoo matches that I didn't enjoy. So thanks for that. Thanks, Paul Bosch.
So is that a sneak peek of the second match we're about to talk about?
You know it's a sneak peek of the second match we're going to talk about.
All right, well, good. That's going to make for a good debate at the end then. Good. All right, so we'll jump right into it. So here's what happens. So Funk's lost. You know, he's pissed off. So now we get Gino Hernandez, and Funk attack Wahoo, and the match turns into Gino Hernandez versus Wahoo McDaniel for a shot at Harley Race for the NWA title. So Gino beats up Wahoo and throws him into the ring post. Wahoo, of course, is busted open. Gino unloads with punches. Wahoo fights back with takedowns and shots, but Gino with elbows and punches and a chin lock. Wahoo reverses into an arm lock and knee drop, punches and chops. Gino thrown in the corner and over the top. Wahoo sends him into ring post, and now Gino is bleeding. Wahoo chair to the head to Gino. Wahoo suplexes him into the ring for two. He gets his foot on the rope. Wahoo with an underarm suplex for two. Gino with a suplex. Bosch keeps calling them back body drops. It's what he calls a suplex or back body drops. He really does suck at calling moves. He's just terrible. Gino with a back elbow off the top rope for two. Wahoo misses a charge to Gino and then basically comes down. We get a small package for two. Wahoo does it. And then so at the, I'm sorry, small package for three. So anyway, Wahoo wins the match. Wahoo does an interview for about 2 minutes. And just talking, and by the way, Bosch's outfit, red jacket, really sucks. So the note I made, Wahoo wins again, and now gets another goddamn title shot for the NWA World title that he's going to lose. So here's full transparency. I was very disappointed I didn't get Funk versus Wahoo. But like Colin said, we did get a suitable replacement in Gino, who we have grown to like as we've done these shows over the last few months. I thought it started very, very slow. But I thought the last 5 minutes were really, really good. I did give it the gentleman's 2 stars. And with that, I will go back to Colm again to give us his overall thoughts on this match.
I gave this the gentleman's 1 star. I gave it the gentleman's 1.5. I was promised Terry Funk. As I said, I was very disappointed not to get Terry Funk. Gino is Gino. Unfortunately, Wahoo brought him down as well.
you didn't find anything redeeming about Wahoo in this match whatsoever.
I think I was still very disappointed that I wasn't getting Terry Funk, to be fair.
Okay, so it wasn't so much about Wahoo, it was about your visceral hate for him and him beating Funk so quickly that cost you a match you really wanted.
No, I don't hate anyone, Sean. I have no visceral hatred for anyone. I'm quite a placid human being.
Okay.
But I built myself up. Because after seeing the match last time, with the Harley match, I know that Wahoo can be carried to a decent match. I thought this might have been one. I thought I might have been shocking you again, and we might have had a match that I would enjoy of Wahoos, and it was taken away from us by Paul Bosch and his bullshit. So I went 1.5. I made to rewatch the second half of it, the Geno portion of it. I've got a note here, not disputing his popularity. This is Wahoo I'm talking about. Not dispute his popularity, and guys must have loved working with him, because you might have got a nice payday out of it if you're wrestling Wahoo, especially near the top of the card, and especially Houston, because I believe that Paul Bosch was quite good with his payouts. But a lot of the time they would have had their work cut out, having to bring Wahoo to a decent match. But I will watch again, and I will report back at some point.
Okay, yeah, you know, Colm, I'm not going to disagree with you. I mean, I went 2, which is not that far above 1.5. I really wanted the Funk match. And I guess for me, in these matches with Wahoo that we've now seen him get multiple shots at world titles. And you know you're going to get a world title match and he's going to lose. And it's like, why does he keep getting a world title match? So I'm kind of coming along with what you're saying and what you're thinking in this process, because I kind of see it here in this match a little bit. So I'm actually not going to argue with you and tend to agree with you on this personal situation. See, I grow as a person too. So
look at us. Like, it's only taken us a year.
Yeah. Well, I'm not totally not sold on Wahoo. I'm definitely not sold on him being a world title contender at this point. So it's kind of old.
We're getting there.
Yeah. Ben, what'd you think?
Okay. I'm looking at this slightly different. First of all, Callum's sounding like the kid who was promised Optimus Prime for his birthday and hasn't got Optimus Prime, bless him.
And he got a GoBot instead.
Yeah. but this for me was like the brilliance of Terry Funk, because you guys are looking at it from the angle of we were promised this match and we never got this match. But I'm looking at it like we watched tonight a 24-minute ball fest. We saw several 20-odd-minute ball fests in our first episode. It was a situation where, you know, boom, snap, finish, done. 3 minutes. That was perfect booking. And I thought the second match was okay. I thought, like you say, Gino's a pretty damn good hand. He knows what he's doing. Wahoo's Wahoo. I went 2.25 stars for the whole package. But like I say, for me, like, just I thought the whole Terry Funk bit was brilliant, because that was a guy who used his name, knew exactly where he was going, didn't, you know, he doesn't need Houston, but Houston needed him at that point. And what it did, it just made Wahoo a bigger star. And if he's the one getting the title shot, then that's what you need.
Okay. Ben, with an interesting take there. So pleasantly surprised, Ben. All right. Dr. G, what do you think?
You know, Ben, that's a very interesting take. I have to agree with you on that. I didn't look at it that way, because I was like the other guys that I wanted to see a little more Wahoo and Terry Funk. Now, let's go to the whole Wahoo thing. You know, as we're watching this stuff, Sean, even though we were getting on Callum, I'm like, why was this guy getting so many world title shots?
This match led me to that, where, God damn it, he won again. I like Gino. So for me, it would be like, oh, man, maybe I'll find a Gino versus Harley NWA type. No, Wahoo has to win again. So that's where
I don't understand why. You know, I mean, I guess he did have some name power, but I didn't get, you know, he just never reached that pinnacle of becoming the champion, but he always won all these title shots. And almost you get to the point where, like, okay, well, probably going to lose again, you know, like, it's just like, after a while, you just kind of get bored of it. But I definitely like Ben's take on the Funk, you know, why they did with Funk the way they did it. But then when we saw Gino versus Wahoo, I was like, all right, well, what? Gino, this is the guy they were saying that probably could have been a world champion or been the million-dollar man in the WWF back in the late 80s. And, you know, so I was like, all right, well, we should get a pretty good one. The match was okay. It wasn't anything out of this world. And I was kind of disappointed, because I wanted to see Gino win this match. But I went 2 stars on the whole thing. I mean, you know, there was nothing absolutely horrible in it. It just, and now Ben gave me a different perspective, but when I was looking at it, I was like, you know, I really wanted to see Terry Funk versus Wahoo, because that could have been a pretty good match, especially Terry. Terry You know, Terry's just a great wrestler all the way around. He could be a brawler, he could be technical wrestler, whatever you want him to be. He could. He's such a versatile guy. So I just want 2 stars on it. I'm kind of getting a little burnt out on the Wahoo stuff. So I'm almost kind of like understanding maybe where Callum came from. And
yeah,
it even made you turn, Sean. So.
Well, it's not so much that I turn, but I see a Callum point of view with this situation with Wahoo. I totally get it now. There's still matches that I'll enjoy with him, but I do absolutely 100% get what Callum is saying to an extent. Sorry, Ben, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, don't get me wrong. I would love to have seen the Terry Funk absolutely destroy him. But if he's going to use his name, if he's going to use his name value to put a guy over, this was the way to do it. Maybe that's just me looking with a bit more of a modern eye.
Ben, I get your take. I totally get what you're saying, too. I see both sides of it. It gives a different perspective to it. But it's like, you know, here's the thing. It's like Colin said on the last podcast. Okay, you have Wahoo McDaniel, but he gets his leg broken. Then you go Wahoo McDaniel, but he's taking on Harley Race, and it's almost like Terry Funk versus Wahoo in my mindset when I saw it. Oh, man, I'm going to get that Harley Race type match, and I'm sure that's how Colin felt as well. It's like it'll be a match that'll be just as good because Terry, to me, is equal to what Harley can do with Wahoo. I assume that's what you were thinking, right, Colin?
Yeah, I mean, I thought we watched a match 2 episodes ago. I mean, the Japan tag match where Terry Funk and Dory had...
So good.
It made Abdullah the Butcher look. It was just so good, because they played Abdullah's strength. Who was Abdullah's partner again?
The Sheik.
Yep. So I completely blanked on that. So they played to everyone's strengths there, and Terry Funk is just like the GOAT. Let's be honest. So I thought if anyone could get a really, really good match out of Wahoo after seeing what Harley could do, then definitely Terry Funk was the guy to do it. And unfortunately, we get shortchanged. And I don't blame you for this, Sean, at all. I blame Paul Bosch and his bullshit.
I love you blame Paul Bosch and his bullshit. That's great. All right, so it sounds like we're all somewhat in agreement with different takes, but we are on the same level of where we rated the match. So, all right, so moving on, we have one final match tonight, which I will call a bonus match, which, again, as we've done these matches in the last few episodes, we found these little weird, out-of-nowhere kind of matches that you really don't think make a lot of sense, but then you don't know how to rate it. And I kind of like this one. I'm the same way. So before I give my rating tonight, I'm going to listen to all you guys. So this is... one that I wasn't going to do because I was going to do one Ivan Koloff match, one Dusty match, because I saw this match and I looked at it and I said, this was like the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. There's no way I'm going to watch this. But Colin convinced me. So it's Dusty Rhodes versus Ivan Koloff from October 24th, 1980. It is a Texas death match. I'm sorry, Texas death coffin match, which in 1980 sounds like the most absurd thing I've ever heard. I mean, so anyway, it's no DQ. It's no time limit, and pinfalls do not really count. There's a 30-rest match. There's a 30-rest period. Match continues. They say at the start, for one man can't answer, and the loser leaves in a coffin. Dusty comes out. He's built as the living. By the way, this is also another 2 out of 3 falls. Dusty is built as the living Stardust. Ivan is still in that Count Dracula robe that we've seen over and over again. He's built as Mr. Russia. Dusty gets on the mic and says he wants the coffin in the ring. The coffin literally looks like it was made in woodshop class that morning. It's like this little wood box that it looks like a kid made in woodshop. Then all of a sudden they change that if a man goes in the coffin, the match is completely over. So literally they've already changed the match stipulation and how someone wins the match before the match has even started. I didn't know what that was all about. Anyway, we get a tie up, punch, punch, kick, eye rake. Let's avoid a coffin, flip over it, trip over it, punch, club, and axe handles. There's one nice knee drop off of the second rope. Ivan Koloff, he does a body slam that Bosch calls a crotch hold lift, which again Bosch continues to unimpress. But Dusty out of nowhere gets a small package for fall number one. So again, we're going to see a bunch of falls that don't count. I don't really truly fundamentally understand what's the point of getting a pinfall in this. Why isn't it just knock him out, get him in a coffin? But we talk about it at the end because there's so many convoluted rules here. And that's what I put. So if falls don't matter, why have them? So fall number two, Ivan gets angry at USA chants, punch, kick, avoid the coffin, elbows, kick the face. On a missed body slam attempt, Ivan pins Dusty for three on second fall. Just randomly just kicks him in the face. Dusty goes down, pins him. Fall three, punches, kicks, go outside, chair, elbows, another chair, bloody Ivan. Elbow toss by Ivan's head into the coffin. Try to put in coffin. Ivan fights Dusty off. Ivan, Ivan hits Dusty several times, kick to the head, chair to Dusty. Dusty is now bleeding. Try to put Dusty in coffin. Dusty fights out, punches, crotch hold slam again, that Bosch calls it. More back and forth. Ivan drops a knee, gets a three count. So we are now at fall number four. He tosses Dusty's head into the coffin multiple times. Dusty fights back. Ivan drapes Dusty's back on the corner of the coffin, goes up to the top. Dusty moves, and Ivan, I mean, I will say this, this knee drop looks savage coming down on a knee. Like, I felt it when he hit that coffin. Like, God, that had to hurt. It hits his knee on the corner of it. Dusty winds up, does the whole double fist. Koloff falls into the coffin. Match is over. Dusty wins. Crowd goes absolutely fucking bonkers. All right, so that is our four-fall Texas Death coffin match that Dusty wins. I will go to, who am I going to first? I'm going to go to Ben first. Ben, what did you think of this match?
Oh, yeah, thanks for that. can we use the word interesting? That seems a good word. I'll go with interesting. I mean, I know people always say I'm a bit of a stylistic guy, whether I'm putting out what people are wearing or, you know, different maneuvers, but whose bright idea was it to have, I'm going to swear, Sean, I apologize, whose bright idea was it to have the fucking coffin in the middle of the ring? Who thought that was a good idea? But, you know, these two guys, you know, I know you guys watch a lot more of this stuff than me, but Dusty and Ivan could have sort of a 2.5-3-star match in their sleep, it seems to me, and they decide to put this coffin in the ring just so they can work around it. It's like, what are we doing? And like you say, the changing of the rules halfway through, you know, is it a Texas? My understanding of a Texas death match is you make the pin or the submission, and the guy has however long to get up. It was like there was none of that implemented or in play in this. I went to Gentleman's 1-star for it. Like, I went like that purely for that last sequence, because like you say, that knee off the top just must have hurt like a bitch when he landed on that, when he landed on the coffin. But yeah, let's just put it down for as a failed experiment, and we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that, I mean, that knee off, I mean, that was kind of a cool finish with him hitting the knee. I mean, I like the finish quite a bit, but yeah, I'm with you. I actually went 1.25 on it then, so I'm right there with you. Callum, since it was your match pick, what did you think?
Is there anything more pro wrestling than the words Texas Death Coffin Match? there was nothing much to it for a good bit of it, but as Ben said, there was a coffin in the middle of the ring that they had to work around. I suppose that is a bit of an issue. The rules didn't really seem to mean anything, but I mean, it was a Texas Death coffin match. It was a sight to behold. There's nothing wrong with bad matches. Boring matches are unforgivable, and this was far from boring.
It was not boring. Enthralled. Yes.
It was something that needs to be seen. To be honest, I didn't really. I don't think anyone in the ring really cared what the rules were. I didn't particularly care what the rules were. The crowd went batshit insane when Koloff ended up in the coffin. It's a sense I never thought I'd say. This was just brilliant. I loved it.
Brilliant.
Good God, man.
I love that. I'll give it 2.5 for God, just for the sheer intrigue of it, what did I give the California Hells Angels? I think I gave that a 2.
I think you gave it two and a quarter, maybe. I don't remember.
Yeah, so something like that. Just for the sheer intrigue and fascination of this match. I'll stick with my 2.5. This is just insane.
All right, here's what I will say. I'm sticking to my 1.25 match rating, but I will say I was entertained. I did not look away, but it was very, very boring at times. I love the finish, but it is also one of those matches that you find in these watches we've done in a vacuum that you probably should go out of your way to see once because you'll never see anything like it again. Like Dusty and Ivan, doing like freaking rolls and cartwheels to avoid the coffin were some fucking funny shit. I'm just going to be honest. But I still can't rate it above 1.25. But yes, in a vacuum, I see why you would compare it to a match that you would probably have to go out of the way you're seeing. So I get it. Dr. G, what did you think?
I agree with you guys. You know, I thought it was entertaining. The bad part of all this, I gave it 2 stars, and I think it could have been based on these two guys. You could have gotten a 3-star match or more out of this. But the rules were all over the place, like you're saying, Texas Death. Coffin, but pins don't count, but we're going to still make pins anyway. I didn't understand all that. Now it begs the question, did Bruce Pritchard bring the coffin match to WWF based on doing this? And is this the first coffin match? Because obviously they definitely, with whatever Bruce Pritchard brought to it, obviously they did it a little bit better in WWF, you know, based on not having it in the middle of the ring, which would have been nice. But, you know, I guess you got to go back to those times that trying different things and, you know, things are more sophisticated, you know, in recent years than it was back then. But having that in the ring and making those guys try to avoid it. And I mean, maybe that was the whole purpose of it. I really don't know what they were trying to do with it, to be honest. But I definitely thought that this had to be the first time I ever heard. I didn't even realize there was a coffin match back long ago.
How many matches have I found since we started doing these like just matches stuff versus our timeline that I've gone, what is going on? I had no idea this existed. This one is like as big for me as the California Hells Angels, because I would never imagine in 1980 that there would be a Texas Death Match coffin match ever in my life.
You'd have to think that when WWF was trying to come up with something, that Pritchard had to bring that up based on what was going on in Houston at the time. Obviously, they perfected it a little bit better, or, you know, they did it a little bit better than what this one was. But in terms of the presentation, I don't want to say the actual match. I think with two guys like Dusty and Ivan, it would have been a better match had either that coffin been outside, or the rules were just a little bit more straightforward. It was a little confusing.
Yeah, it was.
Which you don't want to do that to the crowd, because you do that to the crowd. But I don't know. The crowd seemed to be really into it, so maybe it didn't affect them as much. Maybe we're overthinking things, because I think as wrestling fans today, we overthink things more than, you know, fans did back, you know, back 30 years ago, 30, 40 years ago. But I went 2 stars because I did enjoy it. It was entertaining enough. I didn't get bored watching it.
I really did like the finish. That knee drop.
The finish, and Ivan's known for a good knee drop too. So, the way he delivered that one, definitely, he was definitely hurting after that match, no doubt about it, because he definitely made that look as real as could be.
Oh wow. Anyway, so so this match was interesting. I will say tonight, guys, we definitely had a huge wide variety of matches this episode with a lot of different opinions. So really good stuff. Good feedback. Great matches. Some not great matches. Some out there matches. Some matches we never thought we'd see. Some matches I never want to see again. So Ben, thank you for joining us for this 2 parts. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, boys.
Yes, but before we go and do plugs, I want to give a sneak peek like I always do for the next episode. So here's what we're doing. So we have, so we're recording this, full transparency, we're recording this on, what is it, July 7th, right? Is that what today is? The 7th?
8th.
July 8th. So we still have 2 months to go until we get to back to December 85. So what I've come up with, guys, is I went back to an episode that we were going to do before we jumped into December 85 in our initial watch, and it is called The Unwatched. And what The Unwatched is, this is going to be another four-part series, but the good news is we are going back to our timeline of April 85 to November in 85, and what we're going to go back and do is we're going to watch matches that occurred during our timeline that we did not watch when we were reviewing April versus April to November of 85. Like, we watched a lot of one-off matches, but I found 24 matches on YouTube that we did not talk about or we did not watch in our first initial April to November. So the good news is we're getting back to our timeline to launch us back in the when we get back to December 85. So we should all be happy about that. So on episode one, part one, episode 21 of Unwatched, we'll have four parts. For the first two parts, we will be joined by Logan Crossland. The second two parts, we will be joined back by Rory McNamara, Ben, and Colin's co-hosts on the Special Relations Pod. So here's what we got on our next episode. We have a Road Warriors match, and we have one, two, three, four. We have five Ric Flair title matches. Five. So wow. Two of those matches, and it's kind of convenient Logan's coming on because we know how much he hates Japan. Two of those world title matches take place in Japan. So this is what Sean likes to do to people, obviously, right? So two of those matches are from Japan. One of those is going to be from Houston again. We have one from Dallas, and we have one from Portland. So you get, and all these matches will take place from April of 85 through May of 85. So all these matches happen in a 1 month period. Wow. So yeah, so five Flair matches in a 1 month period and one Road Warriors match we will watch on part one. And Colin, I got a special gift for you in this watch.
Oh, so nice.
I take a guess at what it is?
Okay, no, Colin. There is zero Wahoo matches on our next episode.
Oh.
He's actually being very nice to you.
That is the gift that keeps on giving.
That is a surprise.
Because I think he got burnt out on Wahoo.
well, just remember, I said there's zero Wahoo matches on the next episode. Just remember that. Next episode.
I think I know one match that's going to come up. I know one Wahoo match is definitely going to come up at some point.
What match do you think that might be, Colin?
Did you not say that one of the... it was the week before, wasn't it? I was going to say I thought Wahoo versus Magnum was another time.
I took that one off because it was a week before our timeline started, so I took that one off.
Right.
However...
Oh, fuck.
That's a fancy book, Callum.
However, for all of us, because I think we're all kind of getting that little, and this might be one of the last, well, probably not, but there is no Wahoo on the next episode, but part two of Unwatched, there are two Wahoo versus Flair world title matches we have to watch.
Nope. Not doing it. Not doing it.
That's it, he quit.
Nope.
You get sick those days.
I got up during the night to do these, Sean. The least you could do is spread them out.
Okay, Colin. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. Both the matches happen. Like, I do these matches in order of when they happened on these shows, and they have a Flair versus TA. I'm sorry, a Flair versus Wahoo match from 7/12/85. And then they have another one from 7/26/85 on a rematch of 7/12. Both are from Houston.
What? Fucking Paul Bosny's bullshit again.
Okay. So, yeah, so please, so we'll see how those play out, but at least you don't have to worry about those matches for a little while because we don't have
them. Just answer me one thing.
Yes, sir.
Are they two out of three falls?
They are not.
Oh, thank God.
Oh.
See if I had to watch six. Boys. I know. I was fearing, because we're in Houston, I was fearing we're going to have six falls of Wahoo.
They are not two out of three falls. No.
Right. I'm starting to think that Paul Bosch is the real enemy here.
Thank you. Thank you very much. If you think about all the matches we watched with Wahoo this summer, they've all been from Houston. I mean, let's be real.
Paul Bosch and his bullshit.
All right. So now we need a shirt with an abomination and a shirt that says Paul Bosch bullshit. That's what we need to put the shirts
on. Paul Bosch bullshit.
Paul Bosch bullshit. All right. So with that, guys, I'll end this episode. Ben, again, thank you. So before we go, Ben, anything you would like to plug?
Okay. We are doing a new popcorn chicken salad this weekend as we're recording. So that's going to come out. It's me and Logan, and we're going to be doing Euro Trip. Me and Miranda will be back with a new episode of Telly T once Loki is finished. So we've only got another week to go for that, but we're gonna wait for the whole thing to finish. I know other people aren't enjoying it, but it's quite, I like it. It's quite good. It's quite good. Here on the wrestling feed, you can catch me on Chicken Salad, obviously, and on Highway to the Impact Zone every month, and with Mr. McDougal and Mr. McNamara on the Special Relations once a month.
All right, excellent. Thank you, Ben. Colm, what do you got?
Yeah, as Ben said, the Special Relations every month. Last episode was a good one, despite all the technical issues that we encountered. The next episode could be quite interesting as well, depending what happens this coming Sunday as we record.
Is something going on this weekend? Sorry.
Something may or may not be happening. Hashtag fails, okay. I tell ya. Other than the Special Relations, you can catch me on the Police to Be Nation Twitch and YouTube pages, both Police to Be Nation, all one word, on there, on either of those platforms. So if you could search us, follow us, subscribe, like everything, just anything that you can see that sounds positive, just click on the button on either of those platforms, and it would be greatly appreciated.
All right, and Dr. G, what do you got?
Every Saturday, we've been a little bit off this the last couple of weeks, but usually at 9 a.m. every Saturday, the NWA Saturday special with my co-host, the Podfather, Scott Criscolo. We talk about the new NWA, and things are starting to heat up as they move towards the pay-per-view, the NWA 73 at the end of August. So it's interesting to see how those storylines are playing out. It's what I'm enjoying in today's wrestling more than anything. You know, sometimes we're a little critical of some of the storylines, but, you know, sometimes they swerve and we think they're going one way, they go another way, which I like. I like being surprised. So listen to it every Saturday. Like I said, it drops at 9 a.m. You could reach me on Twitter at Dr. GPTB. Love to hear your comments, questions, whatever. And I'm enjoying this show. You know, I can't wait now for our next watch, actually kind of going back into the timeline that we were in.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. So that'll lead us right back to December 85. And yeah, Saturday special being altered a little bit because you guys like to have a good time on Friday nights, apparently, causing me not to get my Saturday morning coffee.
I know. I'm sorry. You know, we may actually, just to give a little inside baseball, we actually may try to record the show tonight. So this way, because we got a busy weekend ahead, so this way it'll drop on time on Saturday. So hoping to get the Podfather to do that tonight. If not, then it'll be just an old episode. But I think we want to stay with the storylines because there's a lot going on.
And all I will say is current NWA better get Trevor Murdoch out of the damn world title picture. I'm going to quit watching it.
Leave it alone for a little while. It'll be all right. He'll be out of there soon.
He's Collins Wahoo of current day NWA. That's all I'm saying. Anyway.
Billy Corgan and his bullshit.
Yeah, Billy Corgan bullshit. All right. As for me, you can find me at NWA Crack and Roll. I will plug the latest episode of YouTube Roulette with me, Logan, Matt Souza standing in for Shift. Shift has some personal things going on. He couldn't join us. And Jambalaya Jake will be coming out probably around the same time this podcast is, probably the same weekend, where we go back and just it was actually Logan's pick, and he picked four big bangers, and he some really good matches, like 2-4 plus star matches he picked. So as much as I've watched a lot of really bad wrestling, it was really good and pleasant to watch something that was really good, including like an Owen Hart match, some Lucha Underground for you two that don't like the Lucha stuff, which was really, really good. We get an early Batista versus Brock Lesnar match for watching. So really, really good stuff that Logan picked. So, and you can find those playlists and playlists for the shows that we're doing on here as well on the YouTube page that Colm runs for us. So you can watch these videos and you keep track of everything that we're watching, all available on YouTube for free. And Colm does a really, really good job of updating those playlists. So Colm, thank you for that. So with that, This has been episode number 20 of NWA Crack and Roll. Thank you for joining us. Very much look forward to in 2 weeks when we get back to our timeline and watch some matches that took place from April to May of 85. And we will see you then. So thank you, everybody.